Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's message comes to us from our epistle lesson out of Hebrews chapter 11, and in particular, verse 1 of that reading. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Thus far, the text. My dear friends in Christ, this morning we are going to talk about faith, which may seem on the surface to be sort of an everyday church sort of subject and maybe not all that interesting to you. And yet, faith becomes intensely interesting and meaningful when it's needed. Talking about it can be rather dull when it's done from afar, rather boring when it's not so urgent. But in the moment of faith, when it's tested, faith becomes the most important subject in the world. My daughter Emily is working this summer at Mount Hermon Christian Camp up in the Santa Cruz Mountains, just a little ways from Santa Cruz. And one of the things they have at this camp is a ropes course. And one element of that ropes course is called the leap of faith. Now, she was telling us not that long ago about a young lady that was immensely confident about the ropes course. Arrogant, almost. Was talking about it was like no big deal, and as they were explaining to them about the harnesses and the safety lines and the instructors, she had this feel about her, I got this, it's not a problem. No big deal. Well, then her turn came up, and she climbed the 30 feet up the ladder to the platform where the leap of faith was to happen, and she was supposed to jump off the platform and grab a rope that's about 7 or 8 feet out. Faith that exists so well on the ground can disappear in a very short span of space, because now her legs shake, and now that rope that's only 7 or 8 feet away looks a mile away. And all the things that the instructors have been telling her about her harness and not needing to worry about safety lines and being belayed and all these things suddenly disappear. Faith, which is a certainty 30 foot below, becomes a very uncertainty as you have to engage it. That's the truth about faith. Faith is so easy to talk about and be confident about when it isn't tested. Hebrews 11 defines faith as the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We all know that verse probably pretty well, and that's wonderful, but what does it mean? To teach you what faith is, I'd like you to put a scenario that will kind of play out throughout the sermon today. And it's a scenario that's happened again and again and again this summer in pools all across America. Right? There in the pool stands a mother, arms outstretched, encouraging their child, just jump, you'll be fine, I'll catch you. And there at the side of the pool is a small child, complete with water wings, looking out to mom and contemplating what mom is encouraging her to do. Now, eventually, after the child has worn a very nice path in the cement next to the pool, back and forth, they jump. And mom catches it. That is faith in Christ. And it's important that we keep all those elements in their proper places. Because it has to start not with the child at the side of the pool. Your faith does not start with you. Instead, it starts with the mother in the pool giving assuring words to the child. It'll be okay. You can jump. We have to translate this properly. This is, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, Some translations, maybe even some that you use on your phone, will translate this: faith is the confidence of things hoped for. Can I tell you very frankly, I hate that translation. Because it's not right. It's not accurate. Confidence is something that sort of you have to muster from within, isn't it? You have to have confidence to hit a good golf shot. You have to have confidence to give a public speech. You have to have confidence to put your name out and run for an office. But those are all things that start inside you. But that's not what this text says. It's not what the Greek says. The Greek word here isn't for confidence, which is another Greek word. Instead, it's hypostasis, which is used in a variety of places in the scripture, but it is always a passive on the one receiving. It's sometimes used of commander to soldier. The soldier is hypostasis to the commander. He's subject to and under and receiving orders. It's even used of Jesus to his disciples occasionally as he encourages or exhorts them. But here it tells us that faith is the product of an encouragement, of an exhortation that comes outside of us. Faith doesn't begin with me making a decision. Faith begins by the power of God through the Holy Spirit working it in my heart. It begins by the Holy Spirit who comes to me in my baptism. By the Holy Spirit who comes to me through the very word of God which speaks that which I'm supposed to believe. It's hypostasis upon me. I am under God and receiving from him. It's assurance, not confidence. Assurance comes from without. Confidence is mustered from within. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. And isn't that what the mother's doing in the pool? Isn't that what she's speaking? It'll be okay, jump, I'll catch you. You don't have to worry. Another scenario that gets played out in summer again and again and again is one that played out in my life when I was young. When I first started to play baseball, my first at bat, I was told to go up and stand in the batter's box, which seemed to me to be unnecessarily close to the plate because there was a ball coming at me at an unreasonable speed. It didn't seem like a good idea. I was afraid. I was afraid for lots of reasons. Fear and trepidation came as I realized how fast the ball was coming and how it would feel if it hit me. But there was more than that as well. There was fear of what would happen when I swang and missed and all these people would be laughing at me as I never made contact with the ball. There was fear and trepidation that I would fail my team. So all these things are in a young boy's mind, and I'm sure it plays out again and again. The Little League World Series just started back up again, so let me think about this. And I can remember that I stepped into the batter's box, and I stepped into the batter's box in such a way that I was in such a corner that I almost wasn't in the batter's box. I was so far away from the plate. Now, before I knew it, the count was 0-2, two strikes. Now, I can't tell you how that happened because I don't think I opened my eyes to that point. But my third base coach called me over. He said, "I know you're scared. I know you're frightened. But no matter what, I just want you to swing the bat on the next pitch." Okay. So I got back into that little tiny corner of the batter's box at the very uttermost back of it, furthest away from the pitcher. And I had my eyes closed. And I stepped in there and I opened just one eye. Just enough so I could see when the pitcher started to move. Lord knows I didn't want to swing before he threw the ball, right? So he threw the ball. And I swung the bat and it was a mammoth shot 3 feet in front of home plate. I was so shocked I hit the ball, I forgot to run. The pitcher picks up the ball and throws me out at first base, right? But the next time I stepped into the plate, I could swing because of the encouraging, exhorting words of my coach. The mother in the pool, the coach on the third baseline, the parent in the stands can offer words of assurance and encouragement. God does that through His Holy Spirit, but it's more. It's deeper than just encouragement and exhortation and assurance. It's a powerful word that God speaks to His child. And it works faith in our hearts. And faith's begun. Faith is the assurance that comes from without of things hoped for. Eventually, the child jumps. Eventually, the batter swings. Eventually, faith is begun in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And all those things that you were hoping for come to fruition. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now we get to the child standing on the side of the pool. The conviction of things not seen. Because now faith has to do something. It has to take a jump. Faith, which is begun in us and grown in us by God through the Holy Spirit, now is put into action. And the faith of the child jumps into the pool, even though it has no idea what that's going to feel like, what that's going to be like, because he's never done it before. But the mother catches. And all is right with the world. The conviction of things not seen. Our faith, given to us by God above, grown in our hearts by the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit, gives us conviction and steadfastness and clingingness to a Savior who forgives, a Savior who gives eternal life. The strength of our faith is not mustered by us, but given by God. And He reminds us of it every time we hear God's word. And He reminds us of it every time we remember our baptism. And He reminds us that we are God's child again and again and again. But faith is not a static thing. It doesn't stay there. It doesn't just exist. The first two verses of Hebrews 11 talk about the substance of faith, what it looks like, what it is. But the remainder of chapter 11, and as you'll see in next week's sermon in chapter 12, is faith at work, God through us. Faith is not a static thing, it is a living thing, it is an active thing. And we receive all these things that by faith are true for us now and that play out in our lives. By faith, verse 3 of Hebrews 11, we know that the world was created in 6 days, made by God out of nothing, ex nihilo. By faith, we know that we can come and we can make offerings and sacrifices and give back to God that which is pleasing to Him. But it begins with faith, like Abel. By faith, we can live lives that shun certain things and that strive for other things and therefore please God, like Enoch did. Because God has worked faith in us. By faith, we can heed the warnings that seem so crazy to the world. There are lots of those, aren't they? The world looks at the church and says, "You're making a big deal over nothing." But we know better because we know what the Word says. The world has the same reaction to us and our faith in the warnings that God gives as it did to Noah. Noah, you know you're building a boat in the middle of a desert, right? I know what I'm doing. I've got this. God's going to send rain and there's going to be a flood. We haven't had rain in a long time, Noah. Does that sound like the world to us? By faith, we know these warnings to be true. By faith, Abraham went to a land that he couldn't have known, a promised land. And he trusted in God's control over where his life was going. Is that something that needs to play out in your life? I may not know where my life is going, but I know this. I know God's in control. And by faith, I'll trust that. And by faith, Sarah receives this incredible news. Hey, you're going to be a mom. Are you kidding me? No. Do you know how old I am? I'm God. I do know. You know. And she accepts it. And places upon this older couple, Abraham and Sarah, this idea not only that they're going to have a child, but they're going to be the father and the mother of thousands. Look at the stars in the sky. Look at the sand on the seashore. That's what God is promising you. And by faith, they accept it. God, in his almighty mercy and love, has worked faith in your heart. Through baptism in the Word of God, you have faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And that is God's doing. But faith must not sit there. Faith must not be idle. By God's grace and mercy, he has given you faith, and faith that should be active. Faith that trusts him about where your life is going. Faith that assures you as you make offerings and sacrifices before him. Faith that causes us to live lives that are more pleasing to him. To him be the glory, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.